Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You're listening to LSU Daily with Matt Moscona, your home for all the latest Tiger news. Part of the Guarantee Podcast Network.
Okay, let's get it. It is LSU Daily. I'm your host, Matt Moscona. Glad to have you aboard with us here on opening day of LSU baseball. LSU pitching coach Wes Johnson will be with us here in just a quick second. We did have an opportunity to visit with Bo Lowry, LSU's director of sports medicine. As LSU football is gearing up for spring, we now know spring football starts March the 9th. So how are they looking health-wise? We'll get to that with Bo Lowry here shortly. And really cool piece at ESPN.com, the way too early top 25, each team's ceiling and each team's floor. How can LSU make it to the playoff? We'll spell some of that out. But opening day today at the box. The game got moved up to 3 o'clock because of the threat of cold weather in Baton Rouge tonight. So a little bit disappointing, so much anticipation around the start of the season, and you won't have the crowd you would have had it been a 6:30 first pitch. But you'll have sunny skies and a little bit warmer weather during the day than you would with a night game. And so we had the chance to visit with LSU pitching coach Wes Johnson, talk about his staff, and started, though, by talking about what his expectation is, aside from getting the wins, but what's the expectation here going into this opening weekend?
Yeah, no, I want them to come out. We had a really good spring, start there, and I want to see our guys come out, pound the strike zone, attack. Western Michigan's an older team, so they're going to give us, they're going to put up a good at bat. I just want to make sure that we can come out, execute our pitches, control the running game, all those little things.
You know, I think everyone, of course, knew Paul Skeens was going to be the Friday guy. The next two in the rotation are things that I think people are excited to see. One is Riley Cooper. They're taking the ball on Saturday. What is we all saw him last year take the ball in so many different situations out of the bullpen. What has changed for him here in these preseason spring workouts that's allowed him to jump up into that rotation?
Well, I think it goes back to the fall. I mean, we changed some things with Riley when I got here. You were seeing it at times in the fall. You were seeing him be able to execute a few pitches that we were, asking him to do. We asking him to drop down a little bit when he was facing some left-handers. And then just do some different things with his fastball to righties. And then the way he was using his breaking ball, it really started to click late in the fall. And then he was able to carry it over in the spring. And the guy was really, really good for us, in his three or really four outings. And, we're excited for him, excited to see how he does. We know what we get when we get Riley out there. I mean, the moment's never too big for him. He was in 29 games last year. He's pitched in Omaha when he was with Jay at Arizona. And, so Riley's going to be fine. I'm really excited, though, to see if he can continue to do the things we've been working on.
So it's interesting because a year ago, Riley, for most of the season, he was quite literally the only left-hander out of the pen. Jacob Hasty came on late and gave LSU some innings. But with Cooper moving now into the rotation, what left-handed options do you feel like you have that you can trust on or you're interested in seeing here coming out of the pen?
Yeah, well, we feel real confident in Nate Ackenhouse. Jay and I both, really like Nate, obviously. He can do a lot of things. We feel good with him, if we need to throw him against some right-handers. Really excited to see, and hopefully we'll get some opportunities to get Griffin Herring in, another freshman lefty. Really like what he's been able to do this fall. or the late in the fall and then early in the spring. So those will be two guys that you'll see, you know, if we really, with Coop starting, if we get into some left, you know, where we need to get a left-hander out, you'll see one of those two guys.
Wes Johnson's with us, LSU pitching coach here. I noticed on the LSU Twitter feed, Cal Ripken was with the team today. Can you fill us in on how this all came together?
Well, I don't want to butcher this. I don't quite know exactly the. I can kind of, you know, give you the. I believe he's got a family member that may be looking to attend LSU, either in grad school or some form of you know, LSU, and was in town and with them looking at school and got a hold of Jay. And next thing you know, I mean, it was awesome, man. The guys were fired up. Heck, he was one of my favorite players growing up. So, I've never met him before today. So, really, really good. He spent about, gosh, he was awesome. Talked for about 35 minutes with the team. It was really good. The guys really, really enjoyed it.
That's awesome, man. The Iron Man visiting with LSU baseball earlier today. We've got a couple more minutes here with Wes Johnson. And look, we also learned, of course, Chase Shore is going to take the ball. Every report we've got, I mean, about a 6'8 dude that throws 100. I mean, he's special, and this was only a matter of time before he was going to get in the rotation. Why now? Why opening weekend are you all confident giving him the ball?
Yeah, I really like where Chase has been mentally. You look at, you know, nothing's too big for him. He stays, you know, within himself. He throws strikes and just really, really competes out there. And heck, we like what he's been doing. He's had a phenomenal spring. And, you know, we're looking at it. We don't look at him as a freshman or, you know, I've never really looked at guys that way. It's like, are they ready? I mean, as we all know, we've got one of the best offenses in the country. And he's faced our guys day in, day out, and has never shown any sign of being nervous or, you know, intimidated, so to speak. And he's been out there. He's thrown a lot of strikes. Seen, in my opinion, some of the best hitters in the country. And has done fine. So it's like, yeah, he's one of our better guys. We need to be pitching him.
You know, we haven't brought up Thatcher Hurd yet. And you know, Jay spoke earlier today and said, look, I mean, he's going to take the ball in big games. And to be there for the team to be their best this year, he's got to essentially work his way into that rotation. I guess, Coach, maybe a thought on Hurd, but also sort of the challenge for you managing a staff that has, and forgive me if I'm overstepping, but almost an embarrassment of riches, man. When you got a guy like Thatcher Hurd, who's maybe your midweek guy right now. I mean, how do you manage getting all these guys work and managing all these different arms?
Well, I think the thing that, you know, you do no matter where you're at, whether you're here or, you know, in the big leagues, you're constantly looking to make sure guys are in the right spot. And putting them in, you know, the best position to succeed. And with that being said, don't get me wrong, Thatcher Hurd is ready to succeed. We, you know, I wanted to get a little extra work in with Thatcher. We were able to, you know, we were fortunate enough because, you know, Riley Cooper has been so good and Chase Shores is so good that we were able to do that this week. And it's good. Thatcher's doing great. I expect him to have a great year. Expect him to be throwing a lot of meaningful innings for us. So, yeah, he's going to be fine. I'm excited to see him. You may see him this weekend. Mm-hmm. So that's not out of the question either. So, yeah, he's doing really well. There's going to be plenty of innings. And you know this, covering mm-hmm. baseball and being in this as long as you have. I mean, I don't look at, oh, we got to get all these guys work. No, they're going to get their time. And, you know, as we talk to them all the time, and Jay does a phenomenal job with this, hey, when it's your turn, you know, you need to get in there. You need to execute pitches. That's how you get more. And so, you know, that'll start to work itself out. But, yeah, we do have some options we're pretty excited about. And quite frankly, I'm, you know, that's probably the most exciting thing for me over these next 2 weeks is to see how all these guys really perform when there's another uniform, you know, in the other dugout and there's fans in the stands.
Is there a specific though? I mean, it was actually where I was going to go next was, of course you want to see how all these guys perform whenever you're facing someone else, but is there a guy maybe, or a couple of guys or a situation that you're really keen on watching this weekend? Man, I got to watch it all, but I'm really interested how that guy or that situation is going to play out this weekend.
Yeah, you know, there's been a couple guys that, you know, didn't get as much time in the fall as I wanted to get with them and for different reasons. But, you know, excited. Garrett Edwards, I really want to see. He had a really good second half of this spring. I'm excited to see him. Bryce Collins is doing some things different. Another guy. Of course, Ty Floyd. Ty's going to be a rock for us wherever we need it. And Ty's doing some things really well. And then, you know, another guy, Sam Dudden. We're doing some different things with Samuel. And he's had a good spring. Really excited to get in there. I mean, I could keep going down the list, right? I mean, but those are some guys, off the top of my head.
It's funny. You mentioned Floyd and Dutton. It's like Dutton was a guy who was taking the ball starting in SEC weekends, you know, last year. And we had, I mean, of all the names we mentioned, it's like, oh, we got to get to that guy. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's a reason there's so much anticipation. Last thing before you go, you alluded to it as well, this pitching staff facing one of the best offenses in college baseball. From where you sit, though, how do you assess LSU's offense?
Oh, I think Jay's going to have a lot of fun, man. I told him this morning. I said, man, you got some tough lineup decisions against some different guys. But I think on a serious note, I mean, he's going to really be able to match up. You know, if we see that tough righty, we've got some really good left-handed options. If we see that tough lefty, we've got a lot of really good right-handed options. And then when they bring somebody out of the pen that we don't like to match up with, he's got options both offensively and defensively to make some changes to try to offset that. So really like that. Heck, I tell people all the time, the best pitching coach is a great offense. So. Mm-hmm.
We're going to get to see both tomorrow out at the box at 3:00. You okay with the, I guess you got to be okay with the early start, but I would imagine that helps Paul as well, right? I mean, a little, probably not quite as windy, sunny day, maybe better conditions to throw in.
Yeah. You don't get too fired up. You know, they check wind chills and all that. I think they were saying like around 7:00 wind chill is going to be like 35.
Got it.
You know, as this pitching coach, you're not too fired up about that. But so when the option came to move it up or they asked me about it, I said, well, I think we would say yes. Our guys would, but you know, not that the mid 40s, I think is what they said the wind chill would be. Still, though, that's 10, 12 degrees, man. That's a lot.
I mean, coming from Minnesota, I bet that feels like summer.
Yeah. Hey, there would be people shirtless in the stands tomorrow if you were there. So.
Oh, man. Well, we're looking forward to seeing the team get out there for the first time. Coach, it's a pleasure. Go get them tomorrow. We appreciate a couple of minutes.
All right. Thanks for having me, and go Tigers.
It's our pleasure. Wes Johnson, LSU's pitching coach. What an asset, man. I mean, that guy – of course, we had great success at Arkansas and, you know, went from Arkansas to be the pitching coach of the Minnesota Twins. I mean, you bypass the whole minor league system and you go right to the big club as a pitching coach. It tells you about that guy. But then similarly, what does it say about LSU that Wes Johnson leaves a team in the middle of a season when they were the division leader when he left them a year ago to join LSU in the fall? So, Wes Johnson, we're looking forward. We're going to have an opportunity, sounds like, to have Coach Johnson on with us, Coach Wes Johnson on with us. A weekly here during the baseball season. So really look forward to picking his brain as we start to peel back the layers of the onion with this pitching staff, which, I mean, it is, I mean, we mentioned Cooper, lefties out of the pen. He mentioned Ackenhouse and Herring. We talked about Chase Shores and Thatcher Hurd. And then it got to Edwards, Collins, Floyd, Dutton. I mean, it's like nine pitchers before we got to talk about Dutton, who was a guy in the rotation late last season. It just goes to show you the amount of arms that they have. So we'll start to see it all start to manifest this weekend. Looking forward to it.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
Man, I'm excited about this. Always appreciate we get a couple minutes with our buddy Bo Lowry, LSU's Director of Sports Medicine. A lot of years with the New Orleans Saints. Basically the guy who was, you know, responsible for making sure Drew Brees stayed on the field for as long as he did. And you came back to LSU. We're glad to have Bo in town. Good to spend a couple of minutes here with Bo. How are you, man?
Great, man. Thanks, Mac. Matt, I appreciate you having me on.
Always, man. It's our pleasure when we get a few minutes. You know, I told you I want to talk about Zion a little bit and that hamstring injury. But let's start with a little LSU football because so spring dates have been announced. So March 9th, they'll begin. But what's the process like for you and your staff from the end of the season until spring, getting these guys ready to go?
Well, a lot of what we do is as soon as the season's over, man, we're evaluating where they are. We had a couple guys that were playing with some underlying issues. So we go ahead and address those, whether that be surgery, whether that be rehab. And we make sure that during the springtime that they're getting back to 100%. So when the summer gets here, that they're full go, ready, feel as good as they're going to feel, and then get ready for camp. So that's sort of the process training room-wise. And I tell you, we have one of the best strength coaches in the country, man. Like, when I tell you what Jake Flint and his staff does, so all the newcomers and then even the returning guys, man, they're in the weight room, and there's a progressive program that's actually put in place, working with those guys from a running, lifting standpoint. Then, you know, we have Dr. Matt Franks, who's our nutritionist, who's making sure these guys are being supplemented correctly, and if there's any underlying issues, identifying those. And it may not even be an issue that the kid's aware of, right? Maybe vitamin D's low or, you know, issues like that we can test, be able to put a plan together from a nutritional standpoint. So it's really right now about getting these guys in the best shape of their life and then getting them ready for spring ball. So, you know, Coach Kelly's one of the best in the country at doing this. We actually look at their player load and graduate them from having a mindset of they haven't done anything. They get on campus, and even if it's guys that are returning from the bowl game, and we start pretty slow, and we build them up, and we know exactly where they need to be for spring ball and what their player loads need to be, and then you just progress from there. And then Coach Kelly does a great job of actually putting, you know, practice plans together that there's no real big acute on chronic spike in their player load, and really get to work on football during that point in time. And then spring will be over, and then we'll transition back into the grind of, hey, let's get better, bigger, faster, stronger, and then get ready for camp.
Yeah, man, it's that that process. It feels so complicated, but you make it sound so easy to get through, which I know it's not. What about the guys that are dealing with injuries, Bo? Is there I would assume this varies coach by coach, but if guys are dealing with injuries from the season, what's the emphasis on what the workload will be like or trying to get guys back onto the field for spring? Or is it more, hey, let's just make sure they're ready for the fall?
No, like, look, I will say this, man. Coach Kelly really helps with this, but the emphasis is our kids, right? So there will be some kids that will be ready to do some limited work in spring. There's going to be some kids that won't be available in spring. It's really player specific, and what do we need to do to put that individual in the best position to be ready to go for fall camp? So it varies across the board. Some won't be participating, some will be participating limited, and some guys will be ready come spring ball. So,
Bo Lowry's with us, LSU Director of Sports Medicine. I know a lot of people ask about Mason Smith. Coach Kelly gave an update on him just a few weeks ago. From your vantage point, man, how's he done getting over that ACL?
Great. Great. Works his tail off every day. And in that process, you know, dealing with an ACL and coming back from that, it's just a long, tedious process. And you can tell the guys, I say this all the time from being in the NFL, like, you know, guys who are going to be really successful in how they deal with adversity. So when I see these guys who have, you know, long-term injury and they have to have surgery, man, it's really how they respond once the rehab cycle starts and how they attack it that tells me exactly how they're going to be as a player. Yeah. So he's doing great. He's doing great.
No, that's great to hear, man. I know a lot of people are pulling for him. That was such a tough thing to see it go down the way that he did. But what about the newcomers coming in? I mean, you bring in, you know, about roughly 11, 12 transfer players. What's that process like for you and your staff getting to know the new guys and where they are physically, you know, the early enrollees before they go into spring?
Yeah, look, time on task, man. That's just like, you know, me and you. You're a patient of mine, and like, you know about me, but you don't really know me until we were able to spend time together. So that process is sort of a building process, and it starts from day one when they get on campus, and we go through and do physicals with them and find out where they are. Some come in and have issues or limitations, and we treat them, you know, the same way as any of our guys that have been with us. So you identify any issues, and if there's no issues, then, you know, you pull them to the side at times and just try to spend time with them so they get a good feel of who we are and what we're about. The good thing for me is I've met most of these guys in the recruiting process, so we play an active part in that. So they come in, see our facility, they know what the expectation is from the training room, and they know what services we're going to provide. So a lot of times they're really proactive. I would say way back in the day it was a negative to be in the athletic training room, whereas this day and age it's like you better be in there and you better be proactive, take care of yourself. So it's been great. I mean, I'll tell you what, this new group has been awesome. So couldn't say enough good things about them.
That's great to hear, man. One other guy I did want to ask about. We heard that that Mekhi Wingo was going to have surgery. I don't know if he's already had that, Bo, but can you give us kind of an update on him, how he's doing, what kind of his spirits are like?
Well, I just say he's great. This dude is he's a stud, and he's awesome. I love this guy. He's going to be ready when it's his time.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
LSU announced their spring football dates. So LSU will hit the practice field. We're less than a month away. March the 9th. So the spring game will be coming up in late April, so it's going to be about 6 weeks for LSU. Again, March the 9th is a Thursday. Spring game will be Saturday, April the 22nd. So we now have those parameters set for what we can expect, and so a lot of the conversation now begins to ramp up even further about the 2023 LSU Tigers. We know they're in everybody's preseason top 10. And the questions start to become, you know, what are these realistic expectations around this team and what questions need to be answered for them to reach those? Well, ESPN.com here, as some teams are inching closer and closer to spring football, put out their list of the top 25 teams in college football and what they have to do to make the college football playoff. Our buddy Bill Connolly also did a piece where he lists each team's ceiling and each team's floor. First, the write-up on how LSU can get to the playoff is pretty clear. It says, the path to the playoff is wide open with Alabama in a state of flux and Auburn breaking in a new coaching staff. No Bryce Young at Alabama. You lose both your coordinators. That makes sense. He says, the thing that worries you about LSU isn't the level of talent. Plenty of good players. He lists Harold Perkins, Mason Smith, Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers. He said, the thing that worries you is consistency on defense, creating pressure on the quarterback every week. On offense, generating more reliable passing game. Do that, the schedule sets up nicely for a return trip to the SEC championship game. Makes a lot of sense, and I actually completely agree with it. We've talked about the schedule, and the schedule does favor LSU. Remember, when you look at the three games you lost, Florida State, yes, you have to go to Orlando, but I think we all agree that had LSU played that game a week later, 2 weeks later, it's probably a very different result. Just look at how badly LSU played in that game. I mean, they were atrocious for three quarters and were right there at the end. They were a missed PAT away from sending that thing to overtime. So that makes sense. You lost to Tennessee. Well, remember, Tennessee rotates off, Missouri rotates on. Yes, that's a road game, but you're going to be favored on the road at Missouri. You were a home dog to Tennessee. And then you lost to Texas A&M. That was a disappointing loss when it happened, but Texas A&M now comes to Baton Rouge And I think LSU is going to be a better team than Texas A&M. So a lot of those reasons, yes, you beat Alabama here. You have to go to Alabama. So that one might even flip if you lose that game. But there's a lot of reason to believe that schedule-wise, it shapes up in LSU's favor, especially with all of the returning talent and production that they have. So, you know, I like this piece also that Bill Conley did. Not, you know, I was a guest this morning on Crane and Company with the boys, with Jake and Blaine and David Cohn. And they basically asked me to set the stage, you know, or why LSU would win the West. And I told them what I've said here. Like, I believe that when we go to SEC Football Media Days, that LSU should be the favorite to win the West. I don't know necessarily that they will be. And I know that as far as betting odds, the odds makers are going to install Alabama the favorite because they're trying to generate action on both sides of the line. And so Alabama is going to be the favorite just because of the name on the marquee, and a lot of people are just going to default to Alabama. I'm not saying that's wrong. They've earned that right, and until proven otherwise, they should be there. But with what everything LSU returns and the way the schedule sort of flips with Auburn, Florida, Texas A&M all coming to LSU this year, with Tennessee rotating off, everything we just described, there's reason to think that LSU will improve even more. And so Bill Connolly, who does the SP Plus rankings, has listed for the top 25, the preseason top 25, every team's ceiling and floor. So he's got LSU ranked 7th in the SP Plus rankings, but in the way too early top 25, LSU is 8th. So that's where he has them. He lists LSU's ceiling as 11-1. Ceiling, 11-1. Floor at 7-5. The biggest variable, he says, are big plays. And Coach Brian Kelly's first season, Tigers won 10 games, stole the SEC West title with an upset of Bama. With ever-scrambling quarterback Jaden Daniels, most of the offense returning, Matt House's defense bringing in 10 transfers to pair with Greg Brooks and other veterans, it's easy to think big. But winning the easy points battle is key to making a title push. LSU ranked 101st in marginal explosiveness on offense and 50th on defense. They were efficient, they just didn't hit big plays. So marginal explosiveness, by the way, is the metric he uses, which looks at the magnitude of a team's successful plays and adjust for down distance and field position. So basically big plays. There are two things that I would look at for LSU if they can get to the playoff. Number one, obviously, is can you get to Atlanta? And number two is when you're there, can you beat Georgia? Those are the two, I mean, those are two things you have to decide. Number one, we just kind of went through LSU getting to Atlanta. Again, I'm not saying that's a cakewalk. I'm not saying pencil them in. I mean, look at the years LSU's gone to the SEC Championship. 2001, 2003, 2005, 2007, 2011. You had a big gap. You went in 2019. You went back in 2022. LSU's never gone to Atlanta in consecutive years. Like, let that sink in for a second. LSU's never gone to Atlanta in consecutive years. So history isn't necessarily on your side. By and large, it takes a Herculean effort to get there because in the last decade and a half, you've had to clear the Alabama hurdle, which it's not easy to do consistently. But can you get to Atlanta? For all the reasons I just said, sure, it's possible. LSU returns a ton of talent. And then when you look at Alabama themselves, losing Bryce Young, losing both coordinators, losing a couple of games a year ago and then having that turnover. Look, they're 50-50 games a year ago. They had a 50-50 game against Tennessee, 50-50 game against LSU. They lost. They had a 50-50 game against Texas A&M. They had a 50-50 game against, well, I guess Arkansas was for a minute anyway. And they won some of those 50-50 games. So Texas was certainly a 50-50 game in Austin, and they won it. So yes, you could very easily look at Alabama and say, man, they're a field goal away, you know, at the horn, and overtime, you know, two-point conversion away from being undefeated. Similarly, you could also say, yeah, but they're Texas A&M, a little, you know, flare pass in the flat, and Texas sacking Bryce Young away from losing four games. So both realities are true. So there is at least a valid question about Bama, considering how close they were to being 8-4 and losing Bryce Young and both coordinators. How do you replace all that? That's a valid question. So can I get LSU to Atlanta, like with a plausible explanation? Absolutely. Can I get them to beat Georgia? That might be tougher. Now, the one, because I think Georgia's still going to have, look, Georgia set a record, a modern record for the number of players drafted a year ago and still won the national title. They're better than everybody. They have better talent. They're just better. But they are going to be replacing their starting quarterback and their OC, which, remember, that was the last thing they had to clear. Todd Monken got got Georgia's offense to a point where they were able to win a national title. Now Todd Monken's gone, and so is Stetson Bennett. So who's next at quarterback, and can Mike Bobo continue to maintain that level of performance offensively? If Georgia answers that question, they're going to be a boring team. They're going to be undefeated. They're going to go back to the playoff, and we'll see if they can make it three in a row. But if they falter, then sure, LSU with a fifth-year senior quarterback and all that experience and having gone to that game a year ago can absolutely get back to it and win it. But that's less LSU, and that's more what is Georgia going to be and how did they replace what they lost both on the field and in the booth. Okay, that'll do it for us here on a Friday edition of LSU Daily. We appreciate you for being here with us. If you haven't done so yet, please subscribe up on your favorite podcast app. Rate us, leave a review on iTunes, drop a comment, let a friend know if they love the Tigers. We got you here every weekday for about 30 minutes or less. One quick note, I am out on vacation all of next week, so no podcast next week. We'll look for you once we get back from vacation. Until then, it is LSU Daily.